This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further along in the Psalter with Psalm 65 through 67. Praise is due to you. You visit the earth. All the earth worships you. You have tested us and make your face shine. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and I will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Christ has appeared to us.
Oh, God, let us worship Him. Oh, God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing with joyful voice to God of our salvation. Let us come into His presence today.
Christ has appeared to us.
A reading from Zechariah chapter 3. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel, clothed with filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquities away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how would you feel if you were the defendant in a court of law? No, we're not talking here about somebody who is unjustly accused by anti-Christian powers. We're not talking about the occasion where you might think this is the moment where you can be like Luther at the Diet of Worms, confessing boldly in the face of enemies. No, we're talking being a defendant in a court of law where you are truly guilty. You might think that can't happen to me. Well, I hope so, and may God preserve you so that you don't fall into other great shame and vices. Indeed, you can avoid a court of law in a civil sense. You don't have to end up in the dock. But there is one court you can't avoid, and that's the court that we see in our vision, in our text, in the vision of Zechariah. Zechariah was called a prophet just 16 years after the Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity. They were still rebuilding. The temple was not yet ready. But there was a high priest from the high priestly family, Joshua. So it looked as things were getting better, very slowly. But now God shows this vision to Zechariah, and you think, well, that doesn't sound so good. We're talking here about the high priest, accused. We're not talking about the bad people in Jerusalem, the religious leader, the professional religious person. He is standing before God's court. He stands before the angel of the Lord. And of course, the angel of the Lord is the eternal Son of God, not a created angel. And to Joshua's right is the accuser, because that's what Satan means. The accuser. And he accuses Joshua. Now, it's not spelled out what the accusations are. But then you think, okay, he's accused. What's his defense? What does Joshua say? He says nothing. In the whole vision, he does not say one word. He doesn't confess his guilt. He doesn't defend. Rather, who speaks? The angel of the Lord. He defends Joshua and says to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked from the fire?" That's a very unusual defense. Because the normal defense is, "This man, jury, is innocent, and I will show it to you." You don't attack the prosecuting attorney. But that's, of course, what happens here. God is to rebuke Satan, not because his accusations are false, but because God has chosen Jerusalem. And what has that to do with Joshua? God has chosen Jerusalem as the place where the temple is to be built, where he is to be worshipped. He has chosen Jerusalem for his chosen people. Joshua is one of the chosen. The accusations against Joshua will not condemn him, not because he's innocent, but because Joshua is one of God's elects. As one of the elect, he was saved through God's judgment. When Jerusalem was destroyed and the people were brought into the Babylonian captivity, he was saved like a piece of wood taken out of the fire, just barely. So the reason he's not condemned is not his innocence. It is because God says to him, "You are mine. And therefore, nobody can take you back into the fire. Nobody can condemn you." So Joshua is in the court. All men have to appear. Yes, you can live a decent, law-abiding life, and you will never have to appear as the accused in a human court of law. But we all have to appear before the judgment seat of God. And there, our only hope is that the eternal Son of God will intercede for us. St. Paul put it this way, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." In this court, the only one who can stand and be acquitted are those whom God has elected from eternity, whom he has given faith in Christ, whom he has given the word of God. The elect, those are those who are without merit or worthiness. The Holy Spirit has given them faith through word and sacrament. But what about sin? There is still sin there. Does God simply declare the guilty free? Yes and no. Because there Joshua stands, clothed in a filthy garment, a symbol of his sin. And what happens now? Because that is also part of election. Not only that God says to you from eternity, "You are mine," but then that he sends his Son, and that the forgiveness of sin comes to you. Or as it is said here, that the filthy garments are taken away. The eternal Son of God says to the created angels, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to Joshua he says, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." Yes, Joshua is guilty. Yes, Joshua has iniquity. But here is the one and the only one who can take away iniquity and give Joshua the clean garment of righteousness. Joshua can't do it. Without the Son of God, he would still be in his filthy rags. But now, Joshua wears the pure vestments. He is forgiven. And he has received the righteousness of Christ. And it's the same for you. When you look at yourself, you see filthy garments. Don't think because you live a decent life according to the standards of this world that it's pretty clean, clean enough. And don't think that, well, I'm not just a decent person according to the standards of the law, but I'm a pious person. You're here in chapel. You want to serve the church, the Lord in a vocation in the church. Doesn't that qualify for really decent, clean garments? Well, what does Isaiah say? All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. That's what the prophet says. All our righteous deeds, they still don't add up to a pure garment, to a vestment, to the righteousness that can stand before God. No? Christ has to come and clothes you with his own righteousness. And so the Christian says, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. And finally, Joshua not only gets these clean vestments, he's clothed with Christ's righteousness. They even put a turban on top of him. A turban belongs to the special garments that the high priest wears. So that means that Joshua is confirmed after he is forgiven in his office as the high priest. Now, the Levitical priesthood is gone a long time. But of course, you are also confirmed as priests. As St. Peter says, when he talks about the royal priesthood that offers spiritual sacrifices and proclaims the excellencies of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are confirmed as priests, as those who offer spiritual sacrifices, who pray and intercede for the world. You are confirmed as priests that proclaim the excellencies of God wherever God has put you, as a parent where you teach your children, as a neighbor who talks to his neighbors and tells them the excellencies of God. So thanks be to God, who not only has Joshua clothed with righteousness, but he has clothed us and has given us the priesthood. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
prayer.
And let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O Christ, to whom all authority is given in heaven and earth, transform our wills, cleanse our hearts, and enlighten our minds, that all our thoughts and desires would be made pure and holy, and we would present ourselves as living sacrifices to the praise and glory of your name. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.